Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, my little buddy's birthday edition, the Flag Day edition. How you doing, birthday boy?
Awesome, Crudy. Thank you, Fancy Brian, Evan. Good to see you guys. Of course, our fair audience, thank you for all the birthday wishes today. 51 years old. I'm solidly in the 50s camp. It's a little hard to believe. And unfortunately, yesterday, last night after the show, I went and got my second booster. My arm's a little sore, I'm a little bit tired, but, you know, I am a professional. I will muscle on through.
And go out drinking, I suspect. You're going out tonight, right?
Having a little family party, so I'll have some cocktails at the house with some dinner and some cake and some fun. It'll be a good time. And then probably tomorrow and then the next night and the next night, I'll catch up.
And you know, June is party month. June is birthday month,
it's
right?
Birthday month, right, exactly.
So anyways, lots of partying to look forward to. You can always join this political party. We've got Evan in the world headquarters, lightly screening your calls, 844-96-PARTY. So Dom, being it's your birthday, I started the day by talking about, you know, the Saturday night massacre that almost was, the coup plotter slash environmental lawyer, Jeffrey Clark.
We'll call you when there's an oil spill, buddy.
But Dom,
stay in your lane.
Where do you want to start today?
Let me go ahead one moment longer.
Let me thank my most recent guest, the fine co-devil, Dr. Harvey King. Harvey came around talking economic bill of rights, and we swapped some war stories. So we had a good time with Harvey.
Love it when Harvey comes around. He's a cool cat. This Clark thing. Let's start with this. January 6th committee hearing tomorrow.
No.
Canceled.
Not going to happen tomorrow.
Yes, not going to happen tomorrow. Hill's.
I thought tomorrow was supposed to be the Department of Justice officials, or maybe that was Thursday's plan. But what happened? What's the breaking down?
Here is what the Hill is saying. The House Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol postponed its Wednesday hearing slated to review former President Trump's efforts to pressure the Justice Department to investigate his unfounded claims of election fraud. In an advisory, the committee said its scheduled hearing on Thursday would still take place, but provided no other details. Former acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, his deputy Richard Donahue, and Stephen Engel, then the head of the Office of Legal Counsel, were all expected to appear before the committee on Wednesday. Zoe Lofgren, who did a fantastic job yesterday, said this. There's no big deal, but I'll tell you, putting together the video and exhibits is an exhausting exercise for a very small video staff. I mean, come on, hire some more folks. So we're trying to. We're going to have 1, 2, 3 in 1 week, and it's just too much to put it all together. So we're trying to give them a little room to do their technical work is mainly it.
You never give the staff a break, man. You just push on, right, Fancy Brian? You just...
yeah.
And good. Give you 2 hours to get that 22 hours worth of work done. Is that going to give you enough time?
Luckily, it's so. Only one of 15 jobs.
Yeah, exactly. The delay in the third hearing could disrupt the storyline arc. The committee planned to lay out over 7 hearings, while Thursday's hearings will continue as planned. It's not clear. The panel will stick with its original plan, dedicating to reviewing the pressure placed on Vice President Mike Pence. So that will be for Thursday. So tomorrow was supposed to be the DOJ, right? And then Thursday will be Pence. So we're still trying to get an understanding of what's going on. But unfortunately, right now, we will not be hearing from the committee tomorrow. But I got to wonder, given all the news out now, like today, and I know you touched on it, and there's some detailed reporting at the Washington Post on this as well, about Jeffrey Clark and his interactions and going to Trump and getting admonished by the DOJ and going back to Trump and, you know, trying to convince him, and whether or not that the detail will come out. But they're in the hearing. Now, the reporting seems fairly extensive to me. It seems very specific and fairly extensive to me. So I'd love to see some testimony on that. I'd love to hear from the DOJ and those particular players from their own lips about how all this went down. And the reporting's good, but it's nothing like hearing it from the DOJ, the former DOJ officials themselves.
Well, Dominic, I've got some new reporting, and it's, you know, regarding legal people, sort of. Rudy Giuliani. Yeah. There's some breaking about Rudy Giuliani. He is strongly denying that he was drunk as a skunk on the election night.
While it's amusing, you know, as a guy who drinks alcohol myself, so what? If the guy was drunk or not drunk, he was inebriated, not inebriated, he was taking pills, he was doing blow, who freaking cares? What matters is, why is this guy in the room? And I saw this tweet you sent out,
a trusted
out,
advisor to the former president.
Come on, man. Jeff Tiedrich. Hard to believe that the guy who went broke running casinos took advice from the drunkest guy in the room. Well, it's actually not hard to believe, and it's kind of par for the course, right? I mean, he was saying something that Trump wanted to hear. We know Trump likes to hear things he wants to hear. Whether or not he was drunk or not is really... It's a sideshow, and while I do find it a little amusing, I totally believe the man was sloshed, but it's irrelevant to the fact. Whether or not Trump listened to a drunk maniac or just a maniac, Trump still did what Trump did. Rudy still did what Rudy did. So what?
You never ask a Navy man if you'll have another drink.
You know, prior reporting was that Rudy could have been the Attorney General of the great United States of America, but was perceived by Trump to be a drunkard. That was prior reporting. Here's the newest from Rudy. I am disgusted, and I can't do the Sylvester voice he kind of talks in. I am disgusted and outraged at the outright lie by Jason Miller and Bill Stepien, although he misspelled Stepien. That's the former Trump campaign manager. I was upset that they were not prepared for the massive cheating as well as the other lawyers who run the president. I refused all alcohol that evening. My favorite drink, Diet Pepsi. He claims he was just guzzling Diet Pepsis. However, Giuliani found little support for his defense. Let's not forget, there was multiple people that testified Rudy was drunk as a skunk. I mean, that's kind of how they started the hearings.
I'm not an expert on the facts yet. I'm getting there.
Someone puts up absolutely sober hat on Twitter, writes, always talk to a lawyer before you publicly repudiate a potentially helpful defense like, I was extremely drunk and therefore couldn't form specific intent. You know what I'm saying?
Right. There goes that defense.
And of course, what he's effectively doing is he's accusing the witnesses of perjury. They're giving testimony under oath. Now,
yeah, well,
Rudy
you can
is
give
just,
testimony and say it is my opinion that Rudy was drunk as a skunk. It doesn't mean you're lying. It's your opinion that Rudy was drunk. And we will never know he said, she said. But if enough people in the room are saying the man was hammered, the guy was probably hammered.
Well, here's one more. I'll be your sponsor, little buddy. Let's go to a meeting. Tweeting at Rudy. I'll be your sponsor, little buddy.
Rudy, wingman. According to Aaron Blake, who tweeted out, Rudy Giuliani retweeted somebody else who posted the New York Post article that the Miller, an ex-Trump staffer, accused of slipping abortion pill into his girlfriend's drink. So here we have some more right-on-right violence, right? I mean, so I don't. That's fine with me. Let them throw them all in the ring and let them eat each other up. That is totally fine with me. What really matters is what was the intent, what is the degree of the conspiracy, and who are we going to hold responsible for this coup? That's what I care about. I don't care about anybody's sobriety. I don't give a damn about anybody's sobriety. It has nothing to do. You can be drunk and rob a bank and be sober and rob a bank. You still robbed a bank.
Rudy says if you're going to throw him in this pit of despair you describe, he's going to need a roadie. Yeah.
Rudy's roadie, man. We got a new beer for our friends over in Minocqua.
Rudy's roadie. 844-967-2789.
It's made with malt liquor.
Against my better judgment. Like taking advice from Rudy Giuliani. CJ on the phones. How you doing, CJ?
Hey, CJ.
Howdy, you guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You're like that shot of Everclear. I know better, but I still got you down, CJ.
Well, every time you need a good cleansing, Gertie. You know, yeah, the facts
just like an enema, CJ. Go ahead, man.
The facts are we're living in a Democrat world, and things are going so well that even the extremist, liberal, progressive, communist, AOC, says Biden shouldn't run.
That's not what she said.
The commander cut and run and do nothing, vice president. We're watching. We've got candidates running for governor that helped get Trump elected the first time. And what is...
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore,
I don't know
CJ.
Either, dude. What are you talking about?
What gubernatorial candidates that helped Trump get elected?
Hey, let me throw this one out there. Let's talk about briefly, you know, the big lie here. CJ, do you regret peddling a lie about elections that has since been entirely debunked?
I don't think they've been peddling, or I've been peddling a lie.
Do you regret being a patsy for conspiracy theory, CJ?
Do I have a what?
Do you regret being a patsy for conspiracy theory, CJ?
I'm not a patsy. I think all the, you know, whether Trump, I love his policies. You guys can go on and on and on, like November 6th committee. We haven't learned anything new. You know that Bill Barr said he did nothing criminal. Why don't you play that tape?
Nothing criminal, CJ. I don't recall him saying that either. Man, what is your source? You know, your butt? It's not a good source. Although that seems to be your primary one. I prefer the raw story. Come back with us. Always the finest of sources. I might even quote the Washington Post and Max Boot. I thought the January 6th committee wouldn't matter. I was wrong. Dominic often is, except on his birthday, when we pretend like he's got it 63% right.
Thanks, Mike.
You less so, CJ.
It's too old.
Go to hell, you old bastard.
Hi, it's Rudy Giuliani, and I'm on Cameo.
I'm an old man. I'm confused.
I'm too old for this.
I'd just like to say this gig sucks.
Hey, up yours, Springfield.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hell, you old bastard.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you for that. It is my birthday. I appreciate it very much. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I wanted to get to a little opinion piece. Max Boot, the January 6th committee, according to Max Boot, he didn't think it would matter. I was
Max
wrong.
Boot is a conservative commentator at the
Washington
Post.
Well, like Jennifer Rubin, they used to label him as a conservative, but, you know, being an anti-Trumper kind of puts you in a whole different category. Now he's just columnist.
Well, now he's a Marxist, right, according to the MAGAs, but probably still a conservative, whatever, you know, that meant back in the day.
Tax cuts for rich people.
Right, pretty much. That's about it.
844-967-2789. Your participation, always appreciated, especially on a Tuesday. That should be like midweek at least. But anyways, Max Boot said this. I admit to having been skeptical ahead of time of the hearings planned by the House Select Committee investigating the events of January 6, 2021. What more is there to be said, I wondered. The evidence of Donald Trump's guilt in inciting an insurrection was already so obvious that it was hard to imagine that the committee would have much to add. This was not, after all, a situation such as Watergate, where the scandal happened behind closed doors. The entire nation saw Trump's incendiary remarks and tweets and the riot that followed on national TV. And I'm happy to say, according to Max Boot, I was wrong. Words Crudy has never had to utter on behalf of himself.
Right.
The committee's, you know, it's hard for me to even move on without a chuckle. The committee's hearings are exceeding expectations because it is not behaving like a typical congressional committee. There's no grandstanding, there's no preening, and there's no petty partisan squabbles. In other words, no Jim Jordan in the room. There's not even disjointedness that normally occurs when a bunch of politicians are each given 5 minutes to question each witness. There is only the relentless march of evidence, all of it's deeply incriminating to a certain former president who keeps insisting he was robbed of his rightful election victory. The committee's recent hearings, Dominic, there have been two in the past week, with more planned, have been organized like carefully choreographed television productions. Don't tell Fox News. They'll get real butthurt. And I mean, that is a compliment. The committee has been focused on doing what all good television productions, whether factual or fictional, do. Telling a story that enthralls the viewer. And only a few of the committee members have spoken so far. Imagine what heroic self-restraint it takes for elected officials to understand that they can make a greater impact with their silence than with their noisy blather. I've never found that to be the case, personally. No. The members are allowing their staffers to play an unusually prominent role, not only in questioning witnesses on tape, but acting as narrators for the mini documentaries laying out what they found. The biggest complaint against the committee, heard at ever-increasing decibels from Republicans, is it's a partisan hit job. And never mind, the two prominent Republicans sit on the committee, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, are denigrated as rhinos because they have had the courage to act on House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's convictions.
Right.
Here it says in parentheticals, McCarthy initially held Trump responsible for the mob attack, but Dom, he voted against impeaching him. Felt like it was imprudent, the impeachment thing.
Max Boot goes on to write at the Washington Post. Accusations of partisanship have been amply refuted by the hearings, which have been entirely factual and notably free of partisan rancor. There have been no anti-Trump, much less anti-Republican rants. The committee members are focused with forensic factual intensity on the question of Trump's responsibility for the events of January 6th. They are making a case beyond any reasonable doubt in the court of public opinion, even if it remains to be seen whether there is sufficient evidence to indict Trump in an actual court of law. The committee's most potent weapon is the words of Trump's own aides. One after another, we have heard Trump loyalists say that the election was fair and that Trump has no rational basis for thinking otherwise. Last week's star witness was Ivanka Trump, who testified that she accepted then Attorney General Barr's conclusion that her father lost the election.
That one had a sting worse than damn near anything else you could possibly do.
Well, the old man, you know, then insulted her by just saying, she checked out. What
Ivanka
does she know?
Trump checked out.
Yeah. Barr goes on that this led the former president to go on a public rant against his own daughter, claiming that she was not involved in looking at or studying election results. The implication is that if only Ivanka had been as deep in the weeds as dear old dad, she would have been convinced that the vote was the crime of the century. Except that the committee has now heard from many Trump aides who were deeply involved in the vote count, and they also concluded there was no significant fraud. The only people who thought otherwise were weirdos like Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani.
I prefer drunken weirdos.
Who was described by Trump advisor Jason Miller as being definitely intoxicated on election night. Giuliani denies it. Bill Stepien's Trump's campaign manager testified that he was part of Team Normal, and that Powell, Giuliani, et al. Were on the opposite team. Presumably, that would be Team Crazy. Guess which team Trump was rooting for?
Now, as an aside, Dom, there is reporting that seems to suggest Stepien was actually on Team Cool.
Yeah.
He was on Team Crazy. And the fact, and, you know, I'm not going to question the veracity of his wife's labor. She apparently, the excuse why he didn't appear yesterday. But let's not pretend like, you know, maybe Maybe he was one of the good guys. He was the guardrail. They all want to be the guardrail after the fact.
Yeah, right. The most damaging witness from Trump was his own attorney general. Barr described Trump's election lies as BS, crazy stuff, complete nonsense, and suggested Trump has become detached from reality if he really believes this stuff. Barr's statement was seen by some lawyers as evident of criminal intent that would be needed to convict Trump of crimes such as sedition. Whether that is accurate or not, Trump's own aides have made an open and shut case that he is not fit to run Mar-a-Lago, much less the United States of America. Either Trump is spectacularly delusional or spectacularly dishonest. Take your choice. Maybe he's both. Whichever the case, he has no business returning to the nation's highest office.
Come back with us. The Birthday Boy, Fancy Brian, Evan, and you on the phones. 844-96-PARTY.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
TWTW.
Happily will win.
That's the will.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Dominic's birthday, you know, kind of thinks he's a big deal, special day, birthday boy, all that kind of crap.
I'm working on my birthday, man. Come on.
That is unusual. I mean, in that, you know, it's a rarity to find you working, period.
Let alone in June.
Did you see at thehill.com, and obviously it's just someone else's reporting there, of Donald Trump put out like a 12-page rant last night?
I did see, and I did not read the rant. So
I understand the rant somewhat incriminating. Could be used against him in a court of law, Dom.
Well, you know, and the same thing with Rudy, you know, with his defense of his alleged drunkenness today, you know, still pushing this big lie. Still pushing. I mean, to this day,
the big
moment.
Lie is that Rudy was sober?
It's hard to say now, man. There's so many lies.
Dominic, let me introduce this, and we will take more of your phone calls. 844-967-2789. TheHill.com reporting. Former President Trump on Monday issued a 12-page sidewinder rebuttal to testimony and evidence presented by the House committee investigating the Capitol riot. Now, the J6 committee, I like to call him Dom. Here is a little bit from the Trump statement.
17 months after the events of January 6th, Democrats are unable to offer solutions.
I got a solution.
Let's stop right there. Right. What exactly are you trying to say there, Trump? I mean, the events of January 6th, you mean the coup that you orchestrated upon this country? They're unable to offer solutions. Well,
no, inflation, rising gas prices. Oh, somebody can blame on Joe Biden. You know, no solutions.
Is that what it is?
Just
why January 6th? I mean, Trump was still president in January 6th. Why wouldn't it be after Biden's inauguration? If that's what you're saying, why January 6th?
Well, but he please. Tells us in his sidewinder of a statement.
Yeah, please inform
they
us.
They are desperate to change the narrative of a failing nation
without even making mention of the havoc and death caused by the radical left just months earlier. Havoc and death. Is he talking about the pandemic he ham-handedly allowed a million Americans to die from? The COVID pandemic?
Oh, no. The one that he did not lead when he had an actual opportunity to lead and wear a mask and show by example. The one where he had the opportunity to discuss with the American people what he said to Bob Woodward about the severity and danger of this pandemic. No, I'm sure that's a rip on Black Lives Matter.
Make no mistake. They control the government. They own this disaster. They're hoping that these hearings will somehow alter their failing prospects.
Now, reading again from the Hill, Dom, the 12-page document underscores how Trump is yet to move on from his false claims of fraud in 2020. And that work, the committee's work, may be central to a potential 2024 campaign. Is he running again, Dom?
No.
Yes, he is. The 12-page doc, he's going to announce in Florida. Can I make that prediction right now? Donald Trump, when he announces his reelective campaign, we'll go to Ron DeSantis' neighborhood and do it on a street corner. Mark my words. Crudy's no, often won't. Right. Yes, yes, he will.
He's not running, but please continue.
I will continue. One section of Trump's statement focuses on the ballot trafficking claims for which he cites Dinesh D'Souza's documentary, 2,000 Mules. Now, 2,000 Mules got two thumbs down for Bill Barr, right?
Yes.
He laughed about it. All of the people in the room laughed about it.
In testimony shown earlier Monday, former Attorney General William Barr laughed at the mention of the film, saying he was unimpressed with it and dismissed the idea that it proved widespread fraud. Now, Dom, another section of this 12-pager asserts that President Biden could not have won the states of Pennsylvania, Arizona, or Georgia because he got more black votes and Hispanic votes than Obama did. Didn't happen. You got more black votes than Obama. Couldn't have happened. Each of those states has performed audits and recounts and found no evidence of widespread fraud. So let me just throw out a concept. Population growth. It's 8 years since Obama was last on the ballot, 2012 to 2020. You know, every 10 years we redo the census and reapportion the congressional seats because of shifts in the population and population growth. I don't know. I'm just saying, man, just a thought. I know Trump doesn't actually want to get to the facts, but you know, just a thought.
No, Trump was trying to mess with the census as well.
Dom, Trump in one section claimed states such as Pennsylvania and Michigan took additional time after Election Day to count ballots because it was part of an elaborate scheme to ship in fraudulent votes so Biden could erase Trump's narrow leads in those states. You know, ship in votes or count the absentee ballots, as it's sometimes called.
Many from the military, Curdy, but former Fox News editor Chris Steigerwalt testified in person on Monday to dismiss that very theory known as the Red Mirage. He explained that Republicans typically do better on Election Day, while Democrats perform better in early voting. Some states, such as Pennsylvania, do not count early votes or mail-in ballots until Election Day, meaning it takes additional time to finalize the count. And then, again, we have similar, you know, many states have similar laws as to when votes will be counted. And all those laws can be changed. There was an effort to change those laws here in the state of Wisconsin, but the Republicans rejected it. Why? As we talked about yesterday, Curdy, they want to have this talking point to continue the big
red lie. Mirage, red herring for every election forevermore.
Steigerwalt said on Monday, "We had gone to pains, and I'm proud of the pains we went to make sure that we were informing viewers that this was going to happen because the Trump campaign and the president had made it clear that they were going to try to exploit this anomaly. The January 6th hearings have shown a number of former Trump aides dismissing the claims of election fraud and insisting that the former president, he did not have a case based on the facts in the aftermath of the 2020 election. Barr testified that he told Trump his claims were BS and referred to them as nonsense and idiotic. In a deposition shown Monday, Barr told the committee he was worried Trump was detached from reality in the weeks after the election, as he claimed without evidence that certain voting machines were designed to cheat. But Trump has repeatedly shown he will not back down from all claims that the 2020 election was stolen, turning it into a major campaign issue for the 2022 midterms and beyond. He has backed candidates who continue to deny that Biden is the legitimately elected president, and he has supported challengers to the Republicans who voted to impeach him over the Capitol riot. As we near the midterm elections, we're watching the swamp creatures circle the drain as true Americans step up to replace the corrupt establishment with patriots who will fight for our freedoms," Trump says in his 12-page statement. Replace, huh? Is that a replacement theory Trump's advocating for there? just not clear.
Let's get to the phones in a moment at 844-967-2789. Hell, I'll hold this thought. Let's go there now. Jack from Milwaukee. Jack or Jake, welcome. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon, you troublemakers, you. I'd like to ask you a question here, fellas. Do you consider treason a serious crime, or is it just something that you slap somebody on the wrist with?
Well, define treason. I mean, we know about the seditious conspiracy, and we know about the coup attempt against the U.S. government, probably directed and perpetrated by the former president. But treason, such a harsh word. That implies to take one's opponent, let's say in a war like Russia, let's say taking Russia's side in a war against the United States. I don't know if treason quite fits the bill here.
Oxford.
Sedition!
The crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government. Betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government.
I have a little concern.
Government. Yes.
I've been watching these hearings. Now, believe it or not, the Republican lady is doing a spectacular job.
Liz Cheney. Yes, she is.
Yes. The other two I'm very concerned with. They seep a little like a daisy. Benny Thomas and who's that? Zoe...
Lofgren.
Lofgren.
I can't pronounce that last name. But anyhow, I'm a little concerned about that. In fact, they're saying that, we're going to just listen here, and we're not going to recommend it.
Jack, are you criticizing style points right now?
Pardon?
You're criticizing Lofgren's style points?
No, I think I know what Jack. I did see some reporting, Jack.
A little more aggressive.
Yeah, let me restate some of the reporting, and I think perhaps what you're being critical of, Jack, is that Lofgren and
I got it mixed up, fellas.
Well, that essentially they're not there to prosecute. You know, they can make a referral if they choose to do so after this is all said and done, but that is not their responsibility. It is not their goal. That is not their power to do that, Jack. So I think how much evidence
do you need?
They could have a video of Trump shooting somebody on. Listen, Jack. They could have a video evidence of Trump
shooting. Rational.
I know, but listen, it's not the point. They could show Trump shooting someone on Fifth Avenue. They don't have the power to indict, to prosecute. That is not their mission. That is not their goal. They couldn't certainly refer that in the Department of Justice. You know, it's up to them ultimately. But that is not why this committee is made up.
Investigatory committee of sedition.
And there's plenty of it there.
967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, guys. And CJ could actually stand on topic every once in a while. The whole crap about President Cut and Run, it was Donald Trump who actually signed the agreement with the Taliban back in 2019 and released the 5,000 terrorists that probably killed the 13 service people that got killed there during the evacuation. These hearings are fascinating because they're showing the evidence. I mean, let the evidence speak for itself. I mean, that we're seeing more and more crystal clear just how violent and well-planned this event was. I mean, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers were mustering prior to Trump getting done with his speech. They were there before, scoping the event out, I think, before Trump even got to the podium. I mean, there was a coordinated effort to overthrow the government of the United States and prevent the peaceful transfer of power, which we have had since our founding as a nation when the Constitution was signed, because we weren't founded as a nation under the Articles of Confederation. A nation was formed under the Constitution. And for all you knuckleheads out there and CJs and knuckle-draggers, try reading the preamble to the Constitution. That's what our government is supposed to be about. It's promoting the general welfare, prevent domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense. Try reading that, and that's what is laid out in Article 1. I mean, try reading Article 1, guys. I mean, try reading the Federalist Papers or the notes on the Constitutional Convention.
What? But it seems like so much work, Mark. I'd rather just believe Trump because he's a racist like me, and, I'll just go along with it and give him my money.
I'm going to make a confession on behalf of CJ. He's not going to do the homework, Mark. I think I used that line once prior.
Referring to me, I think.
967-2789. You know what Donald Trump's doing today? He's on the revenge tour again, Dom. Campaign stopping in South Carolina.
Is he cashing checks? Because that's what I really like to know. And if so, under what pretense?
Trump's revenge tour in Battleground, Nevada. What to watch in Tuesday's primary. You know, it's primary day today in Nevada. Nevada, depending on how you pronounce that word.
Nevada, Etta.
Well, that's not how the locals say it, is it?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I think Nevada.
No, that's Wisconsinite talking there, buddy.
Former President Donald Trump's revenge tour lands in South Carolina on Tuesday, as the article here, Politico, spells out. It's been a bumpy ride so far.
You think?
Maybe it's because they took Trump Airlines. A little bit more. Trump has vowed to defeat Republicans who he believes have crossed him. But high-profile setbacks like Georgia Governor Brian Kemp's resounding primary win show it hasn't always been or gone as planned for the former president. In Tuesday's slate of primary, Trump is backing challengers to two sitting South Carolina House members, GOP reps Tom Rice and Nancy Mace. Rice was one of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump. Oh, that's a crime.
Well done, sir.
And Mace has oscillated between Trump critic and fan, even filming praise of Trump outside Trump Tower shortly after he endorsed her opponent. That makes for mixed loyalties, doesn't it?
Oh, come on. It's pathetic.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Actually, quite good.
Not gonna work here anymore anyway.
Can we call that treason? Why not?
So, dude, not the preferred nomenclature.
Sedition!
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Nothing but a good time here, especially when you join us on the phones, toll-free. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
We playing hair bands for your birthday, Dom?
I guess, man. I love it.
Little poison. A little bit more here from the primary guide. Who's got primaries today, June 14th, Tuesday? If it's a Tuesday and it's summer, there's probably a partisan primary going on. But anyways, here they are, Dom. Maine, Nevada, or Nevada, depending on your point of view, North Dakota, South Carolina, plus a Texas special election. A lot of primary races today. So anyways, and what should you be keeping your beady little eyes on, buddy? Well, keep them on South Carolina. That's where Trump will be looking. The former president endorsed, we talked about this, Nancy Mace, endorsed against the GOP incumbents. Let me clarify that point. Nancy Mace and Rep. Tom Rice. So he went out and found opponents to two incumbent Republicans because apparently he doesn't like Rice and the other guy voted to impeach his ass. So, you know, that's not the sort of loyalty the former's looking for.
No, of course not.
But what happens if he goes down there and doesn't work out so well, Dom? What if Rice wins re-election, at least through the primary process?
What if, you know, that's the thing about a cult, right? They're just going to go along with whatever he says.
But then the cult need a leader. And I'm not so sure that the cult leader anymore, because I look at the example of David Perdue against Brian Kemp in Georgia. Kemp beat him 3-1, 70-point margin, something crazy. I mean, pardon me, 50-point margin, like 70-20. So that is a weakening of the Trump cult. And I know, you know, the cultists, they really want a cult leader. But if this guy's not capable, the cult's going to need a new leader.
You're missing
the cult's going to.
You're missing the
cult's going to divide and
that's why it's
fall
he's
upon
a cult
itself.
Leader. That's why he's a cult leader. I've literally watched like documentaries of actual cults, and you know the guy is gonna, on this particular day, I'm gonna ascend into the heavens, right? And then they go up there and they go do the thing, and lo and behold, the cult leader does not ascend into the heavens. And what do? They all put the robes on, they go back to the house and continue on with the cult, like it never even happened. See,
is that before
point.
Or after cutting off one's genitals, shaving one's head, and giving all your money to the cult leader?
I'm not going to join a cult.
But there's no rationale, right, with the cult. There's no reasoning. It's a cult. It's a cult of personality. Whatever Trump says, Trump says. Hey, I want that guy out. Well, that guy didn't get out. Well, oh, well, we just move along. Oh, I want that guy out. That guy's out. Oh, see, Trump's great. They just blow by it. I mean, that is the thing about a cult. That's why it's a cult. If it wasn't a cult, it was like an actual party, it was an actual movement, yes, there would be some repercussions for, you know, failures. But when you are a cult leader, but the definition of being the cult leader means there are no failures. There's no failures. Trump, if you're a Trump believer, there are no failures. There is nothing he can do to make you go turn away from the cult unless you're Jenny Thomas and you get, deprogrammed, but then you're already, leaning that way, right? And cult then you're adjacent. Right back in it again. You're cult adjacent again, and then you're right back in it again.
Well, the morning of August 13th, it'll be the talk of the world.
Right, and people still listen to that crackhead.
Mike Lindell?
Yes.
Well, he's hardly a cult leader.
But he's part of the cult.
Many conservatives have bought his fine, my pillow, or my slipper
even
products,
so not conservative.
But you mentioned Jenny Thomas. A little article over one of my favorite sources, the Raw Story. Damn, Jenny Thomas's associates are stunned she has been sucked into a cult again, is the direct quote from the headline.
Again.
Another cult after deprogramming. So she was part of a cult. She was deprogrammed. And now apparently she's joined the cult again. And the reporting we had seen earlier in the week, she reached out to 29 individual lawmakers in Arizona. We knew about two. She reached out to 29. That's cult-like behavior. I mean, I can't get our audience to engage and call their own senators
that. I mean, yes and no, in the sense that, there are, email programs that will allow you to reach out to many people at once, So I don't know if that adds any more or less. If it was 2 or 29 or 200, if you got a database with emails and you got a form letter and you sign it, I don't know. It'd be one thing if she was, drawing it with her own blood and, or clipping out, magazine letters and sending it to people, then I think that'd be a little more of an issue. But using some email program is less of a concern. It's still a concern, no doubt, because you do it to one. Why are you doing that? And if for one other if I just may, if Jenny Thomas and her husband, the Supreme Court guy, if they share a bank account and she was spending money on the big lie, does that make him culpable? Where's the investigation into Clarence Thomas and Jenny Thomas and their efforts to overturn this election, their financial support, if there is any? I mean, as soon as the Roe v. Wade alleged ruling came out, they were Johnny on the spot to start an investigation. But, hell, Jenny's back in the cult and no one says boo? Are you freaking kidding me?
Well, I'm fairly confident that Supreme Court Justice Clarence and Jenny Thomas... Well, you got to figure they've got the segregated joint account.
You mean Mr. Jenny Thomas? Yes, go ahead.
And then also, of course, the cult account.
Yes.
Let me read a little bit of the reporting here at the Raw Story. Revelations that Jenny Thomas, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, has been one of the biggest and most influential proponents of Donald Trump's election theft conspiracy, has stunned some of her former associates who remember her work opposing cults in the 1980s.
I'm shocked. She was in a cult and she was against a cult, and now she's in the cult again. Weird. Where'd that come from?
Thomas has been under increasing scrutiny over texts she sent to former White House chief, Mark Meadows, imploring him to listen to fringe lawyers pushing legal strategies, right? Then last week it reported that she had been emailing GOP lawmakers in Arizona to stand strong in the face of political and media pressure, to overturn Joe Biden's victory in the state. And in a new NBC report, Alan Smith and Alex Seitz-Wald cite a recent report about Jenny Thomas's involvement with the LifeSpring cult decades ago, about which Jane Mayer of The New Yorker wrote, her parents helped her get a job with a local Republican candidate for Congress. And when he won, she followed him to Washington. But after reportedly flunking the bar exam, she fell in with a cultist self-help group, LifeSpring, whose members were encouraged to strip naked, mock one another's body fat. I do that to you occasionally, Dom. She eventually broke away and began working for the Chamber of Commerce, opposing comparable worth paper women. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You'll come back. We're a cult. Join us. Don't get there.
What do you got to do that's so f***ing important? You can't join their cult with me.
And I'm serious. If you have any moral character about you, we're all in this together.
No, I'm not going to join a cult.
I love you.
It's over. Nothing matters anymore.